Illness is really about more than just healing. It is about your transformation. If you choose to find that in it, you know, if you choose to find the meaning in that, that could be a really wonderful consequence of going through something that's, I wouldn't wish on anyone.
Welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast, brought to you by AmpCoil. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we discuss the common thread survivors share after walking through the fire. The practitioners making a difference, and the treatment modalities that deliver healing back into the hands of the people who need it most. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. Truly special guest here today, and one of two repeat offenders on the show. We have Gabe Golden returning to us, documentary filmmaker, health guru, and seeker of truth in the wellness space. Gabe, how you doing?
I'm great, Freddie. Thank you for having me back. It's excited to be here again.
I'm excited that I'm a year in and I'm still doing it, and we're still here having these really profound, in-depth conversations and trying to get some quality resource to people who are looking for the true, for some light on the path, if you will.
Yeah, thank you. And I love what you've done with the podcast. I've really enjoyed it over the last year. Great mix of guests from experts and as well as so many people with their own stories, you know, who we all, when we have our own stories, become experts in a certain way as well. So I've just really enjoyed that mix that you've brought and your energy and your passion. So thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Without spending too much time on what we did last episode, Gabe, there's going to be people that will listen to this for the first time. And the reason I initially wanted to have you on, and it was to go into your story surrounding rheumatoid arthritis, specifically in your recovery, because that was one of my main symptoms, was these horribly inflamed joints in my knees and my fingers. And this is something that you had found great success and quite a degree of recovery over your years in digging into your own illness. Can you just go and give people a little bit of a dip in the water around what you went through and some of the success that you found?
Sure. Yeah. I was a very active kid right up until about the age of 14. And within a very short period of time, within a few weeks, all of my joints became really inflamed. And so this was feet, knees, shoulders, fingers, wrists, just my whole body kind of lit up on fire with swelling. And I was pretty quickly diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. My parents were very concerned, took me to all the best doctors. We ended up at Stanford. And basically, they just offered me a lot of really powerful immunosuppressive drugs. Also, not a great prognosis, especially being diagnosed at such a young age. They said, you will probably be in a wheelchair within 10 to 15 years, depending on how well those medications worked for me. So it was a pretty daunting diagnosis and confusing. And as a kid, you really don't have a whole lot, especially 30 years ago, didn't have a whole lot of resources to look at in terms of what really might be going on. So you trust the doctors and you go down that path. And I always had an interest in health and diet. And as I got older, I managed to do pretty good on the medications. I tolerated the medications pretty well, even though it took a few years for them to really kind of suppress my immune system enough so that my symptoms weren't so debilitating. But I always kind of intuitively knew that nutrition was going to be important, that not punishing my body, would be very important to tolerate the medications. But into my mid-20s, I had a lot of side effects to the medications, and they weren't really working that well for me. So I had dove into research on all the alternatives that I could find. The internet was becoming a much better resource in the early 2000s. And I found information about how this could be related, of course, to diet, to leaky gut, to food sensitivities, to infection, and sort of took on that challenge of trying to navigate what might be my issue. I did let go of my mainstream rheumatologist. They weren't interested in any of that information. Of course, I tried, but they just wanted to keep increasing medications, give me more cortisone, manage the symptoms. And meanwhile, I was pretty concerned about my health. So I found a really good naturopathic doctor who was very concerned about my thyroid, my liver function. We found that a lot of key, you know, components of health were low. My vitamin D level was low. He put me on a really clean diet based on my metabolic type, which even back, this is almost 20 years ago, he had me on a gluten-free diet, soy-free diet.
Very progressive 24 years ago, very progressive.
Yeah, yeah. And a little harder to do back then, you know, not as many gluten-free options. And people thought I was a lot stranger than most people trying to do it today. But, you know, it was that was something that actually did make a noticeable difference within a pretty short period of time. But as I went on a natural path where we were, I was taking some antimicrobial herbs. We were following also Dr. Brown's protocol. Dr. Thomas McPherson Brown had identified pulse-dosed antibiotic therapy, particularly using minocycline, being effective for rheumatoid arthritis. And so from there, we incorporated that protocol, which was just a low-dose antibiotic 3 days a week with some antimicrobial herbs, gluten-free diet, an optimal, you know, just an optimal, clean, fairly paleo diet, treated my thyroid, optimized some hormone function. And within, I would say for the next 6 months, I was pretty miserable. My immune system seemed to just surge and had finally had the opportunity without the medications to kind of go after whatever was the underlying cause. By about month eight, I was doing really well. I could tell something very significant was happening. And by month 9, 10, I was running to the gym again and had completely recovered.
Wow.
So that was, you know, that was my first lesson that healing was possible. From that point on, I had no joint pain in any joints, except about a year later, it started coming back in my knees. And I would get one knee would bother me a while, then it would kind of go away, then the other one knee would bother me. And from that point on, I spent a lot of years just kind of going two steps forward and two steps back. And in that, I also documented, you know, most of that in the film, where I started filming my journey and seeking out others that were on the path to healing, and kind of just gambled on the idea that at some point we would acquire enough good information that might be useful to people, and also, you know, believing that there would be good endings to the stories, because I believed healing was possible.
You've got to have that in your heart. So that's so inspiring just to hear that not only were you looking a lifetime of living in a wheelchair right in the face, but then you kind of took that, you took that option and you said, nope, I'm going to go somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else. And you just kept digging and digging and digging until you found success in your own path. I had mentioned on our last podcast that I had also briefly touched on the low dose antibiotic therapy by Dr. Brown. And I did find some success there with some pretty weird side effects that sometimes I would be getting these, I would get these horrible hives all over my body for whatever reason. But I did find temporary benefit from that. There was a time where my gut lining was compromised from those antibiotics. I took antibiotics for almost 3 years. And I have heard other people report success from that. And, you know, a lot of times for me, it was, again, it was the same thing. It was a way through. It was nice to see proof that there were alternative things delivering wellness. I want to get to the film, but I'm interested. Have you ever tried in your journey low dose naltrexone (LDN) for relief from pain?
I did actually, yeah. and unfortunately, it didn't do anything for me. But I've heard a lot of good things about that, and also that there's not really any side effects.
Yeah, it's really profound. I actually have a pharmacist coming on in the next 2 weeks that's affiliated with the LDN Trust. There's actually a research body that's gathering because there is so much beneficial information around cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, hormone balance, depression. It's really incredible. I want to speak on this to the podcast, but I have tried it with waxing and waning success during periods. I've stopped it. I've started it. I've never found what was magical, but I have heard a lot of stories about LDN. So I do know that's an option out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would actually encourage people to try it because most functional medicine practitioners or a biological medicine doctor would be familiar with that. It's easy to do. It's fairly, really quite affordable if I remember right. And because there's no side effects, it's certainly worth trying.
It is. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about your route through immunosuppressants. You know, there was a time when you said you started on the mexitrethate. My understanding, and I was just talking to my friend Allison, who is really struggling. She is in another situation. Her whole body has recovered except for a knee. And you know what they want, and it's so funny. It's like, it's all gone except for the knee. And so they're looking to, again, put her back on like a mexitrethate. And there are other better drugs now, but in a very disheartening turn of event, what she has discovered is that there's a path to which doctors are allowed to test out these newer medications. And you've actually got to try the older chemotherapy-based ones that are really harsh on the immune system first, and then you can graduate to ones down the line. But as insurance goes, as a payout, you've got to fail a treatment and then be moved to the next one. Are you aware of this practice?
Yeah, it's really frustrating. In fact, what's so just makes me so mad is that methotrexate, of course, was one of the first things I was put on 30 years ago, and they will still prescribe that as their first drug, which is it's a powerful immunosuppressant used in chemotherapy. The doses obviously are a bit lighter when you're treating an immune issue like rheumatoid arthritis, but yeah, they will, and you can even hear that in the ads for all of these different new drugs. They will say this drug is used when patients failed with methotrexate alone, and then they'll move you on to that. And it says essentially that these new drugs aren't all that much different. They're not much better. And they're still just immune suppressants, even if they're a little more targeted.
Yeah, it's funny that there's commercials that always makes me laugh. There's a commercial for a drug. Like, I've got to go to my doctor. Because I remember in my first, 2 years dealing with this chronic inflammatory situation, that I would see commercials for Celebrex. And I was like, I want to celebrate down the beach and do cartwheels and like pick up a child from a deep squat and have no pain whatsoever. and you know, you have these people doing all these amazing physical feats, but trying many of those things, I never found that to be the case from my personal experience.
Yeah. And if it is, it's brief, right? There is a ticking clock there. And unfortunately, mainstream rheumatology or a lot of mainstream doctors will treat, you know, autoimmune or any chronic illness with, they're just very limited tools. And that's where I think you have to have a higher expectation of what you're going to get from a doctor that might actually contribute to your healing. You really can have a very limited expectation when you go to any mainstream doctor who's just going to do some blood work, give you a drug, and send you on your way. They're just treating a symptom, and sometimes symptoms need to be treated. That's okay. But you have to understand that that is temporary, that those symptom relieving drugs come with a lot of potential side effects. Whether those side effects hit you right away or whether they take 5-10 years, you can be pretty sure that they're going to arrive. And so if you choose to treat your symptoms, just know that that's just one tool and one thing you're doing. You're not addressing the disease. And, you know, you've got to seek out other functional medicine doctors, biological medicine doctors who are going to treat you broadly and really understand what's really going on.
I just heard that for the first time in a very different way, that these medications, the pain is downstream of the disease model happening on a deeper cellular level, that pain is an expression of what's happening in the body. It's a really great thing to remember, that pain is always, it's your body requesting something, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's hundreds of thousands of years of biology giving you a lot of important information, right? It does know what it's doing in terms of providing you that information through pain, through symptoms. And it's it can send you on a path of really trying to navigate that, which can be hard to do on your own, which is why it's really good to, you have to do both things. You have to commit yourself to the education and begin to just learn what true health is, how you achieve that, learn about your body, learn about your organ systems, learn about how your immune system functions, you know, what to do to your body and not do, you know, and these are kind of foundational basics that you just have to take an interest in. And in addition to that, then you also need a good guide. I think a good functional medicine doctor, biological medicine doctor, holistic doctor who's going to help guide you on that. But the more educated you are, the better you're going to navigate that for what resonates for you. And the motivation to do that, you know, is something that you have to decide if the pain and the symptoms and the limitation is enough of a motivator to get you to educate yourself and start diving into that. I guarantee you that, you know, an hour or two, a few times a week, you know, whether you're listening to a summit, watching a documentary, reading books, reading articles, listening to a podcast, you know, whatever it is you're doing, that is much less of a burden than it is to live your life the next however many decades in chronic pain or taking a whole bunch of medications that are going to have side effects.
Yeah, the pain, it's funny when the pain, when it's chronic and it's, and there's no way to escape it, it really drives depression for me when I go in and out of a flare. And I have to say, from last year when we spoke, I had a lot of progress forward in my energy and brain fog and focus. However, my joint pain was really in a state of, I was kind of hurting. And this last, I would say this last 6 months, certain areas, certain joints had opened up and felt so much better. I'd had terrible, it's just like the side of my hips. I'm like, why is my body attacking my hips? So weird. And now it's gone. Now it's totally gone. And now it's like in the side of my quad. And it's the weirdest spot, nowhere else on my body. In this one little, you know, but the body, it's like, it moves it around. So I like, in my meditations, I try to go, I'm like, okay, what's behind the pain? Why the side of the leg? What does that have to do with you moving through space? Because it's hard when it's like that ever presence of pain. It's such a, it drives depression for me.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and I'm with you because the limitation as well, you've got pain that has its consequence physiologically as well as limitation, right? You're no longer living the life you want to live, even if it's for a short period of time, a week or two, you're not able to do things, attend things you want to. That can be pretty, for me, it affects my mood and as well. And then you compromises your motivation too, you know, because you being healthy takes some effort, right? You've got to be able to cook good food and you've got to try and follow a certain regimen. And if you don't have success, or if you've got these periods of where you're less than optimal and yet you're following your regimen, it can really kill that motivation. You just have to kind of be disciplined and trust that what you're doing is good for you enough that you've got to stay on that path. But it also sometimes means, just as you just, I love how you described going into that pain and listening to it. Be still, try to receive that information. You know, what is it telling you? How can I look deeper, you know, within myself to discern, you know, where do I need to go next? Or do I need to go anywhere other than just maybe nurture myself? Maybe I just need to relax more. Because of course, I think that one of the biggest components of healing is balancing the nervous system. And we know that the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system have to find that right balance. And we're all in way too much sympathetic dominance because of all the noise and all of the overstimulation that we're facing, the stresses we're facing, be that nutritional, be it environmental, or just, you know, constantly looking at screens and emails. And, you know, we're stimulating that sympathetic. And I think you can go down a lot of roads with diet and modalities and supplements. But yet if you're not actually getting the body into that, you know, parasympathetic state often enough or deep enough, the body can't really utilize all those tools. And so that's why I think that component is so important. And that's really comes down to nurturing yourself, meditation, sleeping well, you know, managing stresses, emotions. And that's all, you know, that's a whole journey.
I mean, it's Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this a lot. You know, he says, yeah, I mean, you can eat the best food in the world, but you eat that grass-fed protein in a state of fear and you produce and digest and make fear-driven amino acids. It's like the food, that mechanism, even the downstream metabolites have that essence and imprint of fear that you're living in. So it's more about the state that you can move yourself into, arguably, that it is just about, you know, high quality, high quality, high quality. It makes sense that the machine, the supercomputer, right, we've got to address this core programming to which is processing the information from the outside world.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, when I started, you know, exploring a lot of different options to kind of break this plateau that I had achieved where my knees were bothering me, but I had done well otherwise, you know, stuck to my diet, played around with that a bit, tried different modalities, tried different supplementation. It wasn't until I actually was able to line up both, biological medicine, which I started, going to an incredible clinic in Arizona called the American Center for Biological Medicine, where I was doing a lot of different treatments over a 1 week period, great diagnostics that are very advanced. This is essentially functional medicine, holistic medicine with a lot, maybe a little bit extra technology involved, and using pulsed electromagnetic field therapies and things that energize the body, things that detoxify the body, kind of all over a 1 week period. And then I would go home and I would always feel worse for a while. And then I would kind of bounce back a little bit and then I'd go get another week. And that was showing some results, but it was also when later on in the next 6 months, I was still doing that, but I started doing somatic experiencing, which is a form of healing that heals ideally trauma, but it also really helps you understand your emotional state and where you're at in your body and what your body's trying to tell you. And for me, that was a great way to start really getting in touch with my body on a daily basis so that I could find my way to that more relaxed parasympathetic state, you know, even throughout the day, really kind of check in, because the more in touch with my body I was, the more that happened. And so we kind of document that a bit in the film, and then we have some more in-depth conversations on that. But I just think that those two lining up, I mean, it was amazing. I really kind of felt that happen and then hit a new level of health and have done really well since then.
And how, yeah, so let's before we get into the film, how are you doing today? And where do you feel you're at in your journey?
I'm doing great. You know, it's been about 3 years since I've really had that initial alignment that I think helped me achieve getting to the finish line, so to speak. You know, 30 years of the disease and so many years of fighting inflammation, particularly in my knees, I have a lot of damage in the joints. So orthopedic surgeons have said, well, you actually need two total knee replacements, you know, but I've been able to avoid that and I've functioned pretty well. Still am able to, you know, exercise quite a bit. I've had some issues with one knee, you know, where I get some swelling behind the knee, which is, you know, they'll call it a Baker cyst or something. Sometimes that's the result of damage to the joint as opposed to an autoimmune reaction. I think we've pretty much solved that underlying autoimmune component. But the damage itself at this point, you know, is there, and it may end up resulting in, you know, down the road, I may need a knee replacement or something. But I'm so grateful that, you know, I have all of my joints functioning where, you know, when I was first diagnosed, it was pretty brutal.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a huge victory. I know people are, if I was someone going down this path, I would be charged up. And not only that, but you've taken your experience and you've used that as the template or the structural process to build this film you've created over the last few years. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
Oh, glad to. Yeah, thank you. The film is called Lighting the Path, and it's a feature film that follows my story and a few other people on our journey, you know, and really kind of documents it over several years, all of the modalities we try, the successes and the failures, all of the lessons learned. We've got a lot of great luminaries in the film providing a lot of great insight. And then I took a lot of that extra content and have built 6 additional episodes around different subjects: autoimmunity, nutrition, the microbiome, the nervous system. You know, and you're in, of course, episode 5, Stories from the Path. So we have, you know, I think about a 15-20 minute interview with you talking about your journey. So
yeah, it was a great day of filming. We had a great time.
And so, yeah, it's the film is, you know, when you take it on, you know, trying to communicate the healing journey, I wanted to be really authentic. I wanted to, when I initially started out, the idea of building a recipe for success was what I really wanted. Something simple that I could just say, hey, you know, follow these steps and you'll get well. Look what I did. And it just isn't that simple, unfortunately. You know, healing is a very personal journey for all of us. There are certain
personal. Oh my God. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. And it's an unfortunate in a way, but you know, it also is, I think that so much of what you explore, you're of course trying to relieve your ailment or your illness and recover. And there's nothing wrong with that intention, but there also needs to be an understanding, I think, that as you go through this, that you're going to end up in the end, hopefully well, right? But you're going to end up transformed. You're going to be probably a different person in a lot of ways than you were when you started out. And that different person may very well be somebody who's much more in touch with their inner voice, with their spiritual life, with the divine, with their inner power, with their ability to engage the world. You know, I think that it is, illness is really about more than just healing. It is about your transformation. If you choose to find that in it, you know, if you choose to find the meaning in that, that could be a really wonderful consequence of going through something that's, I wouldn't wish on anyone.
Yeah. When you said, fortunately or unfortunately, healing is a personal journey, I just had this thought that it's not, you know, I don't need to learn Gabe's lesson. I need to learn Freddie's lesson. And that's why my disease state, my whatever I've been blessed with is different. They're different actionables and teachables that I'm going to pull out of what I've been given and what you've been given. And if we do fall into this belief system that we're, you know, that we're spirits having a physical body human experience, then those lessons should be different. You know, we could do a whole nother podcast on that, and that's another rabbit hole of going down the spiritual and metaphysical. But I really do believe that we're all given these different set of challenges and people and lovers and geographic locations to which we develop and grow in for a reason. That, and they're all unique. So let me ask you though, so there still is value to this, to this film as a guiding tool and not as a literal prescription, because people are going to find inspiration within in the individual chapters and stories that we're following along. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the film is hopefully will inspire people to take a different path. And I think the information that's infused into the stories is something that these are, you know, where we have our specific experiences, there are certain foundational, you know, components that everybody should explore, whether that's diet, whether that's the nervous system, you know, whether that's energy healing, whether it's utilizing technology and different diagnostics. I mean, there's a lot of great tools there that can begin you on your own path, right? But you will, as you begin to inform yourself and educate yourself, you get that ability to discern what's ultimately going to work for you and what your path is going to look like. And I think that takes being willing to educate yourself, but also to listen to a lot of different guides and listen objectively. Don't take everything as truth. You really have to kind of listen from your heart, you know, about what really resonates. Does this make sense to me? Does this feel like something I should address or a direction I should go? Because even in alternative medicine, there's a lot of different directions to go, and it can be overwhelming, and navigating that really, I think if you can come at that conversation and that process of educating yourself, just kind of objectively, look at it broadly, take in information, see what resonates. Don't make any real immediate decisions about, you know, spending a lot of money in one direction, or this one doctor says this, so this is the way I got to go, or I got one or two, you know, testimonials that seem to be something that, you know, that you can be oversold pretty quickly on a direction that can give you a lot of hope. You can spend a lot of time in that direction and a lot of money, and, you know, you may not have any side effects because a lot of alternative medicine is quite safe, but you also can come out the other side a year later and not be any better. So it's, that's where that educational component is so important. And also, I think meditation and even journaling, going within and really kind of listening to what's going on within you, because the diseases that we're facing, while we can blame environmental toxins and diet and a lot of these different burdens, EMFs, exposure, a lot of that stuff is, you know, it's affecting us, but our ability to be resilient against a lot of that, I think can be, we can build our resilience against those things by building our own inner power, you know, and staying connected and staying in an emotional state and a state of mind, a state of being that is more calm and more kind of in touch with and aware of what we're thinking and where we're putting our attention on a daily basis, because that can be very draining to the system. And I think we have to become aware of how much we're draining, you know, our power on a daily basis just by the attention we're giving to certain things, and how much more power we can take back and use for healing and being resilient when we shift that.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you touched on so many gems in there. You know, one thing for me when I think about this idea that we're going to find, well, two things. I want to ask you, but I do want to ask you, even though, yes, it's not prescriptive and there's not one path through for everybody, there must be some things, I want to do this question first. There must be some things that you saw along the process of creating this film that you were really drawn to. And sidebar to that, the modalities that I like are the ones that work with the body's energetic systems and kind of give the body the raw materials to do its magic. That's sort of that's like my qualifier for if I'm going to try something. I do less of things these days that are treatments that I'm going to have to go. It's like, I've got to go to the doctor's office, or I've got to go get the blood iridology and pull out my blood and put it in the ozone, and I got to have a nurse and go through a 10 pass to get back into my body. Like, that's for me, I'm like, well, I'm always going to go need that, and I'm not really solving the root issue, because if you can think of it like a filtering issue. Okay, if my blood's not filtering properly, you know, I can go out and I can do some modality of dialysis to clean up the blood, but where does that really leave me? Like, I think there's deeper levels to go. So what did you see through this whole filming process of things that really lit you up and made you excited about healing on a next level?
One would be the technology around diagnostics, because I think they're very, very helpful, and it's really exciting where that's going. We're able to look at the body now much deeper. And, you know, biological medicine has some really great diagnostics that give you information. I think that there's a psychological, you know, component to being able to have a doctor tell you, here's what this scan says, or here's what this, you know, device is telling us about your system. And so that's really an exciting direction with regard to diagnostics, treatments, things like pulse electromagnetic field therapy, ways of delivering energy in the body, red light therapy, frequency therapy, the entire science around frequency, how we're really starting to discover how frequencies work, how they affect the body. I think that's an exciting area that, you know, we explore in the film as well. Because one of the things that was interesting, you know, for me when I was doing biological medicine and doing a lot of aggressive treatment, was the doctors kept saying, we want to give your body power so that you start getting fevers. We want your body to fight. And so every time I was there, it was, well, did you get a fever last night? No, it didn't happen. No, did you get a fever last night? And then one of the times I came home and I got a 3-day fever that was unbelievable, like nothing I've ever had. And I just let it burn and I let myself go through it, and it was miserable. And I was a new person after that. I mean, that was a major turning point. So you know, just giving the body power, you know, and how we're able to do that again through technology, as well as through managing our emotional state, our attention, meditation, mindfulness. You know, again, you're coming back to being able to give the body power or reserve more power and not give away your power to things that are draining you. Then the body's more resilient and the body can do what it knows how to do.
Mm. Did you come across any miraculous healing stories through your process of filming when you were talking to people all over the world?
Yeah, you know, and I wish I could have incorporated more of them. You know, this film and series is going to continue to go. I'm going to continue to build new episodes around different modalities and different approaches, as well as tell more stories. And, you know, everybody's different. You know, it's funny how many people, though, would do diet approaches and different technologies and get in different modalities and they would get results. But almost everybody seemed to have to go within as well. Like there was, oh, you know, I just really found out I was in a bad relationship, or I was, you know, my job was just draining me. I didn't realize how unhappy I was. Or, you know, there's just when you start really listening to yourself and really in that journey of healing, I think there's certain things that surface and you go, wow, yeah, that's something I got to explore. And that seemed to be a common theme with people that I talk to.
Hmm. It's amazing. What do you see on the future? What do you think this next wave is of offerings from these? I mean, people like Dr. Drobot it's the Arizona Center for Biological Medicine. Is that correct?
Right.
He's obviously somebody that we both know. He's been on the podcast. Now he's on the cutting edge. Is there anything that he's looking at in this next 5 to 10 year span that looks really promising?
Well, yeah, that's he would probably answer that better than I would. But I think that it goes back to diagnostics and where those are taking us, which is huge. The power of technologies to deliver energy to the body and detoxify the body. I think he's one that he plays with a lot of machines. You know, he treats a lot of athletes as well as chronic illness patients. He's using you know, a lot of different tools around oxygen. Exercise with oxygen therapy, you know, singlet oxygen therapy, light therapies, combining a lot of these different things to optimize the biology, whether you're sick or not. And I love that approach. You know, if you're well, or even just cruising along average and you don't have a chronic illness, I still say, if you can go to a biological medicine doctor, functional medicine doctor, someone who just wants to optimize your performance, they will look at your blood work and your diagnostics differently than just a mainstream doctor who might say, well, you're fine, you know, keep doing what you're doing. These are doctors that will say, let's optimize you. Let's maximize your ability to function and perform and think clear. And even if you're just a weekend warrior who's going to hike that mountain on the weekend, or you want to be really, you know, you want to beat your friend at tennis, whatever it is, you can do a lot of things to optimize your biology. And there's a lot of tools in addition to diet and lifestyle habits.
That's exciting to me. Why does somebody want to wait till they're chronically ill to go down this rabbit hole? Why not do it now? Right?
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of course, you know, basic foundational things that we can do on a daily basis that I think get overlooked. We can run around looking for a lot of modalities and things when we need to maybe just get outside and breathe some clean air, take some deep breaths, get some sunshine, optimize that vitamin D, put our bare feet on the ground and do some earthing. I mean, I really encourage people to look into grounding and earthing. The science behind that is really cool.
Can we talk about that? Do you take that to any next level as far as like, do you try to ground while you're sleeping or when you're indoors working?
Yeah, I do. I have a mat, you know, below my desk that I put my feet on when I'm working. And I also have a sheet that I sleep on at night. And I don't know what it is. There's something about that still doesn't feel like it's good enough. You know, I have to go out whenever I can and put my feet on the sand on the beach, or even it's just in the grass in the backyard, you know, and you know, read a book and just have my feet on the grass. Just because once you start looking at some of the thermal imaging, you know, that shows the drastic reductions in inflammation just from 30 minutes to an hour of grounding, you know, it feels very worthwhile.
I love that. It's is it Clint Oberon that is the big? Is he the guru on the grounding movement? Is that correct?
That's a good question. I don't know if he wrote the book. I think there's the book Earthing.
Earthing.
But I don't know if he wrote that or not.
Yeah, there's a bunch of sources I've really been looking into. You know what I've been doing? I did yesterday. I just threw the breaker, and I'll do this. I'll throw the breaker to the bedroom where I'm sleeping. So there's absolutely no electrical current going through the outlets anywhere in the room. I sleep better.
Yeah, I wish that, you know, that's one that everybody can do, you know. Of course, what you're doing, that's optimal, you know, and just don't take your phone into the bedroom. You know, don't sleep with that thing next to you. You know, turn off your Wi-Fi. You just can't keep exposing yourself to that stuff. And a lot of, because we don't see it, I know a lot of us, it just doesn't seem like something that we really have to worry about. But again, you start looking at the science and you listen to the researchers who are real concerned about this. There's just no point in taking that chance. You know, eliminate that burden as much as you can.
Yeah. So Gabe, where can people go find the film to view it?
So you can view the film. The website is lightingthepathfilm.com. And when you go there, you'll see the trailer and you can register to watch the film for free for a 10-day free screening. And you'll get instant access to the feature, which will be available the whole time. And then each new day for 6 days, you will get a new episode by email, which is an in-depth interview on a different topic. With various people. And so, and then there's some additional resources as well to help kind of work as a guide to help you navigate this a little bit. And I'm continuing to work on that. I'll be continuing to expand the website and some of those resources. Cause I just want people to be able to, if you're inspired to take a different path, you can still be, you know, wondering where to go and where to begin. It's a lot of information to take on. And so, just as kind of you're doing, you know, you just want to kind of provide as much of the guidance as you can.
Now, as a filmmaker, are you going to be submitting this to festivals or for as far as the artistic integrity goes, is that something you're going to be working towards?
It's an option down the road. Festivals can take a long time. You know, submissions take time. Then you have to have the festival. You can potentially win some awards and maybe get some attention. What's so nice about, you know, the way we can deliver content now is there's just not a lot of waiting around for a distributor to pick it up. So I wanted to get it out there. The film took so long to really complete. And, you know, I was eager to get it out there. And I love that I can just put it out there for people. They can get access to it right away. They can own it if they want to, you know, but it's there. And down the road, that's an option, you know, because there certainly is a great advantage to having a big distributor, whether that's Netflix or someone picks it up, because then it brings it to an even larger market. But right now we're just kind of using affiliates and trying to get the word out there, because affiliates will be people who are already speaking to those that might be very interested in the film.
Yeah, that's amazing. And there'll be an affiliate link on freddysetgo.com where people will have a link to the film and they'll be able to access it. I have another question for you. What's next in your grand vision as far as, like, do you want to create a part two? Is there something else that you're looking at as far as creation of a resource for people going through chronic illness?
Yeah, you know, it's in addition to continuing to do interviews for this series, and we'll continue to expand it and various ways to distribute it. I just finished a book called Cancer and the New Biology of Water by Thomas Cowan. And I've got a couple of people who saw the film that are interested in potentially doing something on cancer that hasn't been done before, starting to talk a little bit more about, you know, the incredible amount of money that's gone into cancer research and the failure in mainstream, you know, oncology and how it really hasn't changed, you know, a whole lot. I mean, there's, as you know, your story, of course, you know, there was benefit to the surgery you had and all of that. And so I'm not speaking against stuff, but there's a lot of areas of alternative medicine that have been explored and show promise, but they don't have funding. They don't have a lot of resources. And I think we need to bring some attention to some other directions to go. And of course, a lot of that bleeds over into optimizing the biology that can treat autoimmune diseases and all these other things we're facing. But cancer is a fascinating one, and I think I might like to take that on next.
Yeah, it needs it. I often will say that the phrase cancer awareness can just be, we can stop using that. We're all aware of cancer. I think we need to think about some new solutions. There's a testicular cancer support group that I'm a member of, and it breaks my heart, because you just see all it is it's the wives of men who have been diagnosed. They're being rushed to the emergency room because they caught it late. They're being rushed into surgery, remove organs, lungs, brain surgery, and then everybody's riddled with anxiety. Everybody has neuropathy from the chemo. And it's all these people that are saying, are you guys dealing with this? Are you still hurting like I am? I can't feel my hands. I'm wondering what day it's going to come back. Unfortunately, nobody's dealt with why the body chose to express itself as a tumor. And we have these people that have been cut open and poisoned, and then there's not a lot of good, like this support group, and I'm like, I should leave this. At some point, I would like to come on with another, option two. It's like, okay, let's build a place for these people to be met. Here's what happens when you're done with surgery, when you're done with chemo, because there is validity to detoxifying the body of some of these drugs that continue to do damage to the nerves. There was a woman I talked to yesterday. She's so worried about the neuropathy from the chemo, and that's a side effect. But there are many proven ways to go into therapy. One, like really adhering to the ketogenic diet, or even pre-treatment fasting. Fasting for 48 hours prior to chemo has been shown to be very efficacious to saving the good cells of the body that you don't want to damage. So that information is out there. It's just not part of our messaging service of people going through cancer today.
Right. And again, it's, you're sent on that path, you're given that diagnosis, and if you have limited options or resources or information, then you end up going down a path that can be really destructive. Or if you do need surgery and you do surgery, you don't have the resources and the information about how to rebuild your body after that, the way you have. I think that there's so much hope though there, because there's so much that I think can work. And I think these illnesses, whether they're cancer or autoimmune, they're teaching us a lot of things about how we need to live our lives, how we need to find better alignment with the natural world, with our environment, and with ourselves or our divine nature. All of this is information. We just have to stop ignoring it and navigate it with a determination, that it means something,
Yeah. And like you said in the beginning of the podcast, you got to move into the heart. What resonates with you is a viable option. And out of the brain, into the heart, what speaks to you and your body. It would be so easy for me to design, if any investors are out there. in one phone call, I could design a rec center with two sunlight and low EMF saunas, a couple ionic foot baths. We could put some PEMF devices in a red light room and a salt room for meditation, and a juice bar. And it could be how cool would that be? Tell me that's not a business model for every single town in America, where you could just go and, it's almost like a subscription to like a tanning bed, where you can just go and you can use all these things at a very affordable rate that, like you said, add energy to the body so the body's healing mechanisms naturally turn on.
Love it. Yeah. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
and I've heard a little bit of, there are some places that kind of resemble that, vision. The American mm-hmm. Center for Biological Medicine has what they call a bio lounge now.
Yes, I've seen that.
You can kind of go in there and do different IVs and different light therapies and sauna therapy and stuff. So it's coming. I think you're just ahead of the curve there.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. And you could make it really simple. I love the vitamin IVs, you know, push glutathione, vitamin C, you know, the intravenous ozone. I mean, we could get really high tech, or I think you could do it really simple. You could do all wellness tools, and it could be run by two or three volunteers. And it could be even something where this could be a crowdfunded space from the local community. Because I've seen people raise lots of money for, I don't want to say less worthy, I want to say different causes. So I think it's just planning, and I think it's vision. It's got to be somebody that's going to stand up in the community and do one of these.
Right, yeah. I think that's something to contemplate, how we manifest that. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, let's get on it. Gabe, so everybody knows where to go and see the film. Where can they connect with you if they want to talk to you and shoot you an email?
Same thing. If you go to lightingthepathfilm.com, if you register, you'll get emails from me with different episodes as well as the feature film. And you can always respond to those emails as well. Because my email is gabe@lightingthepathfilm.com.
Mm-hmm. And Gabe, you've already said what it means to you to be beautifully broken last time. So now I would like to ask you, what do you envision for the general awareness around health and wellness for the country in the year 2020?
In a lot of the new age community, you know, there's a lot of talk about living from your heart. And I think that's more needed than ever. You know, it doesn't have to be a hokey new age spiritual idea. You know, not only is there a lot of really cool science about kind of connecting the coherence between the brain and the heart. Places like the HeartMath Institute have incredible research on that. But, you know, just living from your heart space, meditating with just the idea of connecting with your heart, because there's just something extraordinary about what happens when you tap into that, the amount of compassion and love and that surfaces, you know, and desire for life and desire to give. There's something about tapping into that space that I think builds an energy to give. And I think we all, whether we're fighting an illness or whether just dealing with daily life, people have a limited capacity to give. And then it can create conflict. It can create short tempers. It can create stress that we then manifest as illness. So if there was a hope, I would say that I would love to just see everyone embody the idea of tuning into their heart, tuning into their own compassion for themselves as well as for other people. Because I think that's, if you can operate from that space, and it's a, you know, it's a daily challenge to get out of your head and into your heart. But from that space, almost everything is better. If you can approach any career choice, relationship, or even just your own wellness, you know, the way you nurture yourself, what you believe about yourself, about what's possible for you. You know, when you tap into that space, there's a power there, a divine power that's trying to speak to us through that.
That's where we're going to end it, my friend. That was absolutely beautiful. Gabe, thank you for being on the podcast, and I'm sure we're going to be doing it again.
It's an honor to be here, Freddie. Thank you so much for all you're doing.
Thank you very much, sir. Namaste. Ladies and gentlemen, you made it to the end of the podcast. Now, in a world where the average attention span is less than 10 seconds, we just spent almost an hour together. And I think this is the beginning of something really beautiful. Now, one way to support the podcast is to head over to freddysetgo.com and check out my newly launched page, Freddy's Faves, where I've linked every 5-star product and healing modality you hear about on the show. Most offer significant discounts by clicking the link. And please know, it doesn't cost you anything extra. And at the same time, they support the show through affiliation. So check out Freddy's Faves on freddysetgo.com. This episode of the Beautifully Broken podcast was brought to you by our sponsor, AmpCoil, upgrading the vibrations of hearts, minds, and bodies all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Grabbing a download is like giving this virtual thumbs up that we're doing it right. And if you want to connect with me, shoot me a message on Instagram at freddysetgo.com or at freddysetgo. That's all for today. Our closing. The world is hurting. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading, whatever it takes to move the needle. Remember, while life is pain, putting those fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I'm your host. I love you. Namaste. Have a wonderful day.